Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. From the Arts Desk, the Muncie Civic Theater is showing Wiley and the Hairy Man through Sunday. Peter Pan runs from February 13th through March 1. See MuncieCivic.org for details. Main Stage in Anderson has The Fantastics coming up in April and The Addams Family in May. You've got that to look forward to. At Ball State, Emmons Auditorium has Peter and the Starcatcher on Wednesday, February 4th. And at University Theater, Raisin in the Sun opens on Friday. Pretty remarkable story in the Muncie Star Press the other day. They said, Gary West did a double take when he heard a dog barking behind his family's business Saturday morning. When he heard a second bark, he investigated. What he found was a puppy in the trash container back there. He said, I looked in and there was this pup all curled up and yelping. West had found a German Shepherd mix puppy in the trash dumpster behind his family business. The dog was taken to the Muncie Animal Shelter. A flood of people, after reading the news story, offered to adopt the critter. West was thinking about that himself. And we thought about that story and, well, and about this time of year. In a few weeks, the annual pet population explosion will occur. The number of unclaimed dogs and cats in the Muncie Shelter will double or triple. Some will be adopted, many won't. It's hard on the people who work there, knowing what's coming. We visited the shelter and talked with Phil Peckinpah, the director. It's a noisy place. A kennel with so many animals doesn't always smell nice either. But for the people who work here, it's not just a tough job, it's a calling.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been here for 3 years. Right. You know, I started out when I left Ball State, I started out in the financial advisement field. That did not work out. I didn't really like that. And so I became the director of a local rescue here in Muncie, ARF. And from there, I came here when Mayor Tyler was elected in 2011. So,
what happens with the dog and cat stray population as we get into spring?
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely see a huge rise because all the dogs and cats are going into heat. Not only will we see more puppies and kittens, we'll see more male dogs and more female dogs and more male cats and more female cats because it causes them to roam so much more because they'll go an extreme amount of distance to reach a female. A male dog will go an extreme amount of distance to reach a female dog in heat. So our population, especially our cat population, will dramatically increase. And it's like clockwork every year around, you know, towards the end of March and beginning of April, we just see a skyrocket of our population going up.
And so that affects your population here at the shelter. Can absolutely. You think of any of those numbers that before this happens, you have X number of?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll have around, you know, typically around 70 to 80 cats, and that's cats and kittens. And, you know, as the spring progresses into summer, those numbers will double, you know, almost even triple. The same with dogs. We'll have probably around 50 to 75 dogs at any given time here. That number will skyrocket as well. We'll have twice those numbers. I mean, and literally sometimes triple those numbers. It's some days our drivers will be driving nonstop and going on calls nonstop. People will be bringing them in. And during the winter months, it's much slower. And we kind of focus more on animal control ordinance complaints and welfare of animals out in the cold. But in the summer and spring, it is nonstop chasing strays, picking up strays, and things like that.
Is there anything you do to prepare for that surge?
There's nothing really we can do to prepare. You know, we're kind of preparing for it all year because, you know, we're always looking for adopters. We're always looking for rescues to work with, sanctuaries to transfer animals to. Just doing things like what we're doing right now, just talking about it, letting the public know that it's an ongoing problem. And, you know, without some people stepping up and taking some responsibility for these animals, which, you know, animals that come here as strays, they're owned by someone somewhere eventually. We look at that as, I think sometimes, oh, this is a stray dog, it doesn't have a home. It did have a home, and somebody was just that irresponsible and not reclaiming it. and letting it run. So we just need to do a much better job as people and, you know, the caretakers of these animals actually doing that and taking care of them and knowing that it's a huge responsibility. And then realizing the end of it is that they're here and then they're my responsibility to care for. And then I have to make some very hard decisions sometimes as to what the outcome of this animal is going to be. So, I mean, just being incredibly honest with people about that. If you don't have your cat or dog spayed or neutered, and if you do have, you know, litters upon litters of unwanted animals, you know, it's a very real possibility that those animals will all be, you know, hit by a car, you know, live a horrible life with somebody who doesn't want them, or be killed at an animal shelter. I mean, those are the realities of not taking that responsibility and having these surgeries done or not even acquiring them. If you don't think that it's something that you can handle for the rest of your life, and you know, cats and dogs are cute, nobody loves them as much as I do, more than I do, but you know, they're not for everybody. And I think people just need to realize that as well.
As part of your job, I guess, here, as you evaluate someone who's thinking about a pet, I imagine that's quite a discussion that you have.
Absolutely. I mean, you want to make sure that whatever pet that they're interested in is a good fit for them. We want everyone that comes in this building to leave with a pet. Absolutely. It's so much better for them to be in a home than in this environment. But we want them to stay in that home. And we want the people that are adopting them to realize what they're getting into. And so if we know that, you know, a cat doesn't like dogs, of course we're going to be very honest and say, you know, this isn't going to work out for you. You know, you're going to end up either bringing your dog here because you like the cat more, or you're going to bring the cat back because it's not getting along with the dog, or someone's going to get hurt in this process. Or the same with the dog. If we know a dog doesn't like children, you know, obviously it's not going to be a good fit if you have four kids. So, you know, just being really honest with people and letting them know that this is the reality of this pet is a huge responsibility for us and a big part of our job.
For people who've never been here to the shelter, describe what a visit to the shelter is like. As we're walking through, we can certainly hear.
Absolutely, absolutely. This shelter, in my opinion, has come a very long way in, you know, the past few years. We have a great staff. Our volunteer base is absolutely just flourishing. We're getting more and more volunteers. They're organizing and developing their own 501c3 to help the shelter. But the shelter is what the shelter is. It's not the prettiest thing to look at. It's kind of an older building. There's definitely a smell with it, but I think you're going to be greeted with a staff that cares about what they do and definitely cares about the animals that are here and has the best interests of the animals, not just here, but the best interests of the animals throughout Muncie and Delaware County. You'll be greeted by plenty of friendly dogs and cats, and you know, hopefully you'll end up leaving with one, and if not, maybe you'll come back and volunteer or leave with a great impression of the place.
Phil Peckinpah, director of the Muncie Animal Shelter. Coming up next, the real issue at animal shelters, the hard truth, and Phil Peckinpah's idea for getting through to pet owners who don't want to spay their pets.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
The big issue is that people need to have their animals spayed or neutered.
Right.
You don't happen to know off the top of your head any of the numbers that, you know, only half the people get this done or a quarter?
You know,
or
statistically throughout, I don't have a Muncie statistic, but, you know, nationally, it's a bigger number than what you would think. It's around 70%+ of pet owners do have their pets spayed or neutered. So it's a small percentage of people that aren't doing it that it just gets out of hand. But it might even be more than that, but it's a much larger percentage than what you would imagine. So if we can just boost that up a notch, we're so close to having just this humane nation and this, you know, this caring nation for animals. We're incredibly close and we're almost there. And, you know, shelters across the country are taking different approaches to things and, you know, are doing a much better job of educating and then shifting blame. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing. Instead of saying, oh, you're so bad because you haven't had this done, explaining why it needs to be done. And I think that in the past, that hasn't been the case. I think that so often you have a shelter director that says, I euthanized 30% of my animals last night. Well, these, the public. It's the public's fault because they're not spaying and neuter. Well, maybe it's my fault because I'm not educating the public enough into why, into letting them know, yeah, I'm euthanizing this many animals because I don't have the space for them. If you guys would help me by spaying and neutering, and if I can offer you these programs to help you get your animal spayed and neutered, or if I can transport this animal to the vet for you to get it spayed and neutered, then I think that's a much bigger problem solving than shifting the blame.
But that's a hard truth, isn't it?
It is
animals,
a hard truth.
The animals that don't talk about that.
Absolutely, and there are some hard truths. I mean, animals do get euthanized. There are animals that just live a horrible life because they come from an unwanted litter. But there are definitely hard truths here.
Can imagine that part of your job must be with your staff. You have to support each other to some extent emotionally, right?
Absolutely. We've had knockdown, drag-out fights here, when it's discussed. It's something that no one here, and I think that also is something that needs to be addressed to. No one here looks forward to the day when I have three people sitting in my office and we have a list of dogs and cats and we say, we know their names, we know where they come from, we know their behaviors. When we say, it's time that, Tim has been here for 6 months. Tim has attacked two other dogs since he's been here. Tim, has these qualities against him, but he has these qualities for him. Do you think that it's time that we make a decision on the likelihood of his adoption versus the likelihood of this dog's adoption, who isn't available for adoption because Tim is in this kennel? Those are incredibly hard, heart-wrenching discussions to have, and especially to go back and look at Tim knowing that you're taking him to a room to euthanize him. And I think that people, sometimes see the dog catcher or, as this, villainous character. And, nothing could be farther from the truth. These are people that care and they're people that are passionate about what they do. And the decisions that we make are very thought out. No dog comes in, that we think, oh, great, we got to put this one down. So every decision is difficult. I mean, we look for every alternative before we euthanize. Now, some, it's much less of a difficult decision, though, if a dog has attacked somebody and caused a very strong bodily injury, or if a dog is so dangerous, or if a dog has been hit by a car or is severely injured, in those situations, that is the best thing that can happen for that dog. It's the ones where there are behavioral problems that could be corrected if you had the proper guidance and proper, facilities and proper people working with the dogs. The bad thing is we don't. We don't have the proper facility. We don't have the staff. And we can't say no either. I mean, if someone comes in with 30 dogs in one day to surrender, we have to take all 30. I mean, we can't say, we're full. We got Timmy here, So those are things that people don't understand as well. And there's also no time limit. We do have dogs that have been here 4, 5, and 6 months that are just waiting for adoption. They're great dogs. They just get overlooked for whatever reason. So the decisions that are made, on case by case. Every dog, every cat is looked at as an individual. There's no breed restriction, there's no age restriction, nothing like that. It's simply based on that specific dog or that specific cat. So, I mean, that is a little bit of the reality of it.
That's Phil Peckinpah, director of the Muncie Animal Shelter.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Phil Peckinpah, and I'm the animal control director for the city of Muncie and Delaware County.
You've been in business. You do this now. This isn't just a job for you. This is a mission.
Absolutely. It is a mission. And it's something that I want to continue to do probably for another, 4 to 5 years.
But, you love animals.
I love animals. I love them. Love them so much. And I want this community to be so good, and I want this shelter to be so good. I want this shelter to be something that Muncie can say, that's ours. this shelter is ours. This is our community shelter. I don't want it to be the municipal dog pound. I don't want it to be the city shelter. I want it to be the community shelter. I want it to be so great. And I want Muncie to be known as the safest place, you know, for a stray animal to be. And we're not there, but we're getting closer, I think, every day. And, you know, we have a great support system. We have a great community who's really embraced, I think, what we're trying to do. You know, every day we've been able to lower our euthanasia rate. We've been able to, you know, make excellent contacts throughout the country with rescues and sanctuaries.
That's part of what you do. You look to place dogs. If you can't get them adopted out here, you may find...
Yeah, absolutely. We have two that have been here for a couple months that are great dogs that just get overlooked. We have two today that are leaving this afternoon that are going to a rescue up in Kokomo, Indiana. So we have a lot to hang our hat on, but we have big goals, and we're not going to stop until, you know, we reach or get as close as we can to those.
When you talk to people, or your officers talk to people, about spaying and neutering their pets, mm-hmm. why does this continue to be an issue? What do folks say when they resist that?
You know, a lot of times it's the cost. A lot of people just can't afford it. I mean, it's a pricey surgery. You know, our economy is not the best it's been. It's getting much better. It's just something not everybody can afford, and that seems to be the biggest thing. Also, another thing, and it seems like with men, you know, it's a masculinity thing sometimes. They don't want their dog neutered. You know, they don't want their dog's, you know, manhood taken, as they would say. But the dog does not care. The dog has no sense of that. And it's healthier. It's better for the dog. So they're met with that. And a lot of times they're met with, oh, I'm going to, or I need help. And we're able to provide that help. I mean, there are programs throughout the state of Indiana. There's a bill right now that's going to go through the Indiana General Assembly that will develop a spay-neuter fund. So, I mean, there are a lot of great steps that the state is taking, that this community is taking, and, you know, we're getting closer. And so, you know, most people embrace what we're trying to do, as long as we're out educating instead of out trying to blame them.
It seems that we hear more and more about hoarders. I don't know if it's because it's better covered in the media or what, but tell us what's going on when we open the paper and 30 cats are removed from a house.
Yeah, I don't. It's definitely not a new thing. You know, we may be bringing a little bit more of a spotlight to it. And you know, there's been such popularity in, you know, even outside of Muncie with the television show Hoarders and things like that. I think that people have, you know, we have a little bit of a voyeuristic society anyway. And, you know, I think people look at it as this interesting life that these people live, or strange life that these people live. And then when it happens here in Muncie, people just like to know about it. But we've done a really good job of finding that and trying to establish a protocol for these people.
Do you ever have repeat visitors who realize they're on now their fourth?
Yeah. Hoarding is a mental condition. There's a study through Tufts University that hoarders without aftercare and without the proper guidance and without the proper counseling is 99% repetitive. It will happen again unless you see it. And that is also a problem in Muncie. There isn't a place that I can send these people. I can go and I can take, you know, your 50 dogs or your 30 cats or whatever the amount is. It's going to happen again. I you know, there's a lady that has an issue not too far from the shelter. This summer we were able to get a warrant. These aren't cruel people by any means. They have the purest of intentions, the absolute purest of intentions. And in their mind, they don't see their home or their animals the same way that you or I might come in and see them. They see their home as maybe a little cluttered. They always say that. I haven't cleaned today. That's always what they say. Or, of course, you caught me on the day that, you know, my foot hurts and I couldn't get up. You know, stuff like that. So they don't see what we see. And so we were able to get this, you know, search warrant and remove this lady's cats. And she had some animals that had died in her care that stayed in the home that she didn't know about. She had that many. And so we were able to work with the American Red Cross and with Ball State University and get her some aftercare. Well, that eventually stopped.
And how many cats were you dealing with?
I think at her house it was only in the mid-20s, right? I think it was around 26, which that's not that high. It seems like with cat numbers, it's always just this crazy, like 50 or 60. So it wasn't that high. But I drove by her house yesterday, or 2 days ago, not too this week, and I could see more cats in the windows. She had three or four on her porch, and I just, you know, I don't know that I can help her because there's not that help available to her. I can't counsel her. I'm not qualified, or do I have the time? But, you know, and somebody will make a complaint, and again, we'll be over there dealing with this lady. And she's a nice lady, and I, you know, I don't mind talking to her, but I just, you know, I wish that there was some type of program here in Muncie and, you know, across other communities throughout Indiana, and that some communities do have, you know, in other states, to help these people, and unfortunately there's not.
Can you tell us a story about a time where it really worked? Somebody came in and everything clicked. They were the right person or the right family.
It's hard to think of a specific example of that because it happens every day. I mean, every day a family will come in, you know, whether it's a family or a single man or a single woman or a new couple, and they'll come in and you'll just see it and you'll almost even feel it when they click with that animal. You know, they'll come in, the dog will jump on the kid, lick the kid in the face. The other dog that they might have, they just get along beautifully. It really is a magical, fantastic feeling. But some of the ones that are the most heartwarming are the ones that the animals have lived such a horrible life. And you know that that is completely over. Or the ones that have been abused by someone. And you get to see them go into a home that they will never want for anything again.
'Twas in another lifetime, one of toil and blood. When blackness was a virtue, the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Phil Peckinpah, director of the Muncie Animal Shelter. We'll have more on this story in the TV version of Indiana Weekend on WIPB in a couple of weeks. Heather Hunt, Richard Collins, and I were doing the story. Heather Hunt and I were talking with one of the animal control officers with a hound dog named Wendy in a fenced-in area. This dog was beautiful. She was really cute. The chain-link fence is about 5 feet high, and as we were talking, Wendy just jumped over the fence and bolted off down the street. They got her back when Wendy stopped to be petted by a neighbor just down the way. But it was another example, a beautiful dog, very friendly, but hard for them to adopt out because she's just run away so many times. That, fellow animal lovers, is our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flexsteel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.